making the transition from the teenage years to adulthood isn't easy for anyone, but as tough as it can be even more confusing for someone living with Asperger's syndrome, where social cues often aren't very clear. That was the story of our next guest, who traveled that bumpy road and lived to tell about it, and now he's written a book for those who might be in a similar position with advice on how to handle things like that first job and surviving the world of online dating. Well, joining us now is Jesse Saperstein. He's an author, speaker, and autism advocate. His new book is called Getting a Life with Asperger's: Lessons Learned on the Bumpy Road to Adulthood. Jesse, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thank you, and may you please repeat your name so I pronounce it correctly on the air?
Absolutely. Veronica Rickert is my name.
Veronica Rickards, nice to meet you.
You as well. Well, Jesse, reading through your book, there's a lot of good advice for young adults, whether or not they have Asperger's, but you're focused on the ones that do. What makes this time of life especially hard for someone with Asperger's?
Well, with Asperger's, people are often affected socially, so they may be extremely intelligent, but this intelligence does not often earn them the jobs and opportunities they deserve, because they're so behind in many ways socially, and a lot of this can be solved with education and resolving misunderstandings.
So how do you do that? How do you go about, for instance, resolving misunderstandings?
Well, as the title of my book suggests, I learned everything through the school of hard knocks with lingering suffering. And every time there was a misunderstanding, I just wanted to scream at the top of my lungs, God, if you had only told me about this issue 6 months ago, I could have done something about it. And I always tell people, actually everyone should tell people this, we cannot fix something if we don't know what's broken. So my idea is to be honest about one's condition and talk about some of the assets that we'll bring to the table, and also some common misunderstandings that are not that big of a deal if they're addressed.
And one thing that it seems like you advocate doing is just for the person with Asperger's syndrome to just let people know that they have Asperger's syndrome and they might need clearer communication or, you know, to talk through things. Would you say that's a good piece of advice?
That's a great piece of advice, Veronica. And there's an essay in my new book called Getting a Life with Asperger's about disclosure. And it's all about the fine art of telling why you're special and how to navigate the social quagmires. And I think that when you tell people you have Asperger's, you're not using it as an excuse. At the beginning, I would only disclose if I got into trouble, kind of hoping to alleviate the punishment. But now it's just a matter of saying I want to do better, and with communication, I can achieve if given the chance.
Well, can you walk us through that moment? Let's say you're a young adult with Asperger's. You're getting, you know, your first real job. What is a good way to approach sharing some of what you're talking about with your employer?
When you go to an interview, you do not say, I have Asperger's, and this means I'll be accused of stalking most likely. I'll have a lot of trouble with getting my work done on time. You want to be as positive as you can, and also explain that basically if issues are brought to the table, then you'll do well in the job. And how I've succeeded is every time I have a good experience at a job, I will ask the employer to write a recommendation, and I'll keep that in a very safe place. So whenever doubts are experienced about my case of Asperger's, I bring out this whole library of excellent recommendations where I've been successful at a funeral home, working as an assistant funeral director, and many other venues where plenty of people would have failed, Asperger's or not.
Well, one thing that you talk about in the book that can be an incredible strength is that you say that you and many people with Asperger's are incredibly tenacious. You'll stick with something.
Yes, and that tenacity, that bulldog relentlessness, can be both a good and bad thing. It helped me get through the Appalachian Trail, which is over 2,000 miles with no hiking experience. But with things involving human emotions, such as, say, online dating, it worked in the absolute opposite, meaning that it brought catastrophe. So I think that one's strength can become a weakness and vice versa. And as people get older, they understand when to be tenacious and when to put something on the back burner.
What would you say that someone with Asperger's does bring to a job that someone else may not?
I worked with some incredible organizations, and in one of them, I think it's done by Cornell University, but they had this young man with Asperger's, and he applied for a job at a pharmacy. And within days, the manager was calling the organization, telling about how incredible this employee was, that they were diligent, they had no interest in stealing the medication, that had an extremely high street value, and they were just focused on the task at hand. And for the most part, were extremely honest. And this can be a bad thing, like when we meet somebody and we haven't seen them for a long time and the years have not been so kind to them, to put it mildly. But there's also the good kind of honesty where you return lost wallets and other things that people lose.
And would you say that most people at this point know what Asperger's syndrome is?
I think that in many ways they do, Veronica, but at the same time they don't understand exactly what it is. They may know that it's associated with the autism spectrum disorder, but they don't know the strengths and the misunderstandings that occur. And most important, they don't know how mild it is sometimes, because when people think of autism, they think of a very prominent disability. But sometimes it's so mild that it resembles a character flaw, or somebody being obnoxious.
Well, let's talk about that, because early on in your book, you say you finally get a diagnosis from a doctor who says, Jesse, you have Asperger's syndrome. And what that is, it's the lowest rung on the ladder of the autism spectrum. How would you define it today?
I would define it as just a social difference that creates some issues, but overall, people can succeed if they're allowed the right resources. And a lot of the disablers associated with my disability have little to do with the autism spectrum. They have to do with the repeated mistakes that are not corrected through the right intervention, fear of failure. You know, there's a lot of people who have Asperger's and they go on disability simply because they don't want to take the chances of going after a job and failing and other setbacks that happen. So, and also, I'd say that there's an essay in my book called The Road Out of Loserville, which deals with people getting into slumps. And that usually occurs, that often occurs during transitional periods.
And what happens during a slump where you're between jobs, and it sounds like self-esteem can be a problem both for you and other people with Asperger's? How do you get out of that cycle of maybe feeling bad about yourself?
Well, the answer is I compare it to this metaphor of when I was on the Appalachian Trail. I was in this lean-to, which is basically an open shelter, and there was a swarm of mosquitoes because it was right by a swamp, and I desperately tried to cover my head and burrow into the sleeping bag like a mummy, and they still found their way in, and I was freaking out. And finally, I realized this is not going to stop, and I kept hiking. I just left the shelter at 1 o'clock in the morning and hiked all night long, and they had no chance of catching up to me. So what I'm trying to say is that it seems our biggest problems occur during periods of inertia when we have too much idle time. So your question is, what do you do in a slump? You just try to keep moving. And no matter how ridiculously menial the accomplishment is that day, you celebrate it, even if it's cleaning your room or something. So, we have trouble during transitions because all of a sudden things change and no one gives us the memo.
And what about seeking mental health? Because you say that something that's common to a lot of people with Asperger's, it's that they carry a lot of emotional scars from their life. People being cruel to them, coming of age in a time where bullying was sort of left unchecked. What do you do when you've got those scars and then you can't quite get rid of them on your own?
Well, that's an excellent question. I don't think anyone's ever asked me that ever. So it's so important to understand that part of the syndrome for many people is the inability to move on and let go. And a lot of people say, well, people without Asperger's have that trouble. But I think that for many other people without autism, they eventually get to that point. But for me, there is no eventually. I don't really move on or let go. Therefore, I think it helps to compromise and put something on a back burner. But with my obstacles, I can say that if I did not go through this bitterness, the sometimes unrelenting bullying, what would I have to write about? I'd have no books, and I would not be helping others. So no matter how horrific the scars may be, you can find a channel for them, and others will help you if they care about those with Asperger's.
Well, we're talking right now with autism advocate and author Jesse Saperstein about making the transition to adulthood when you have Asperger's. And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. If you're a young adult with Asperger's or the parent of one, what questions do you have? Do you have a story to tell about what it was like? If you're an adult with Asperger's who's been down this road, what was your experience like? And what do you wish you knew back then that you know now? 800-642-1234 is the number, 800-642-1234. And you can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking with Jesse Saperstein, author of the new book, Getting a Life with Asperger's, Lessons Learned on the Bumpy Road to Adulthood. You can join the conversation with your questions and comments at 800-642-1234. If you're a young adult with Asperger's or maybe the parent of one, what practical advice would help you? Or if you're an adult with Asperger's who's been down this road, what was that experience like and what advice can you offer? 800-642-1234. You can also send an email to talk@WPR.org. And Jesse, I want to talk about a situation that seems like it's kind of filled with landmines for people with Asperger's, dating and then online dating. What is different for people with Asperger's when they try to enter the dating scene?
For Asperger's, there's many times when they're not able to read the hidden signals. And back when I tried online dating, people said the word no in a variety of ways, and usually it was without actually saying the word. It was with eliminating phone calls, not answering the phone, and using ambivalent messages like, we'll see, I'm busy this month. And of course, they expect the other person to get the message, but it's a lot harder for someone on the autism spectrum.
So what advice would you have about how to handle yourself?
I always promised myself that I would never give anybody advice I'd never be able to handle myself. So I'm not going to tell people to let it go immediately. What I will say is try what's called incremental backing off, which means that you don't sever the connection, but you may call again in the month or 2 weeks, and eventually you may want to say, I have Asperger's, and it's really hard for me to sometimes understand when someone is interested or not. But for the most part, I just tell people that dating is all about moving on and letting go, whether it's fair or not. That's just the way society is. And if someone wants to be left alone, then that's their legal and human right, regardless of how unfair it may seem.
So tips for, you know, doing what can be really difficult for anybody, and that is letting go of someone that you might be attached to. So that sounds like something that's more difficult. Is that something that was hard for you to learn?
It was extremely hard. And another thing that was also hard was understanding the rules beneath the rules, meaning the things that people don't tell you in black and white. You have to either figure it out for yourself or learn it the hard way. And unfortunately, I was the recipient of several stalking allegations in my community, and it was never like the Glenn Close rabbit boiling in the pot type of deal. It was more like a misunderstanding that always escalated out of control. One of several examples is there was a young lady at a local CVS, and she was always very kind to me. She would confide in me about some of her personal problems, and I thought that it seemed like a good idea to ask her out twice in a year-long period, and that itself created a truckload of problems. So it's all about also knowing that you should not really try to pursue your coworkers. I mean, there has to be at least one compatible person out of the multi-millions of people in this country who you don't work with.
Right. All right. Well, let's go to Jess, who's joining us in Milwaukee. Hi, Jess.
Hi. I was recently diagnosed with Asperger's in my mid-40s, and this is apparently after a lifetime of growing up with it, never knowing or even hearing about it. But somebody suggested it had an effect on my marriage and my family and so on. And I normally get two reactions. One is either the light bulb goes off in people's minds and they say, oh, well, that explains a lot. Or two, the denial aspect of it. There's no way, you're too extroverted, and there's no way you can have it.
Right. So have you figured out how to navigate those waters, Jess?
I'm still in the process of learning and figuring it out now.
All right. Well, thank you for that call. And just describing can be a long, long path of discovery, sometimes whether the diagnosis comes earlier or later. Is this something, Jesse, that you think you'll be learning about your entire life?
Yes, I think that it's really hard, Jeff, to go through 40 years of your life and all of a sudden it's explained why you were a certain way and why your marriage may have failed. But my advice is to not put yourself at the mercy of other people's reactions. And unless they have a master's in psychology, you really should not take their opinions too seriously. You'll drive yourself absolutely crazy. And some people may think that you're excusing bouts of quasi-inappropriate conduct. And just to avoid that misunderstanding, you should let them know that your diagnosis is to help you do better and understand the way your mind works, what you need from society to help.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that call. Appreciate that, Jeff. And we're going to go now to Joyce in Portage. Hi, Joyce.
Hi. How are you?
Doing
Hi,
well.
Joyce.
Hi. I have a question because I've been realizing that we have a lot of this running through our family. We have several members of the family who have self-medicated them in ways that they probably wouldn't have had to had they had a diagnosis and understood it a little more. But now I have a 22-year-old who, for all practical purposes, is an adult. And oftentimes when I'm attempting to help or to understand or want to sidle up and get close and try to be the friend she needs me to be, she just closes the door and wants to be left alone.
Okay, so Joyce, your question there is how to help someone and give them your support when they seem to push you away and want to be alone. What would you say to that, Jesse?
Well, that sounds not just Asperger's. That sounds like a typical 22-year-old woman. I think that, how do you try to help Joyce?
I just want to find out what's bothering her or if there's anything I can do to help. But a lot of the time she just basically says that I don't understand. And she used to be a really studious, good grade. She would read 2 or 3 books a month. Somehow that's kind of gotten lost, and now I think she's telling me that because I never that things were bad with her when she was younger, that I have no right to know about it now.
All right. Well, that sounds difficult, Jesse. It sounds like her daughter's having a rough time.
Is your daughter going through a transitional period where she's between college and graduate school or a full-time career?
Yeah. She was going to junior college and to get a prerequisites accomplished. And then she had a brief amount of time where she moved out, got her own apartment, and thought that she'd like to be independent, met someone, and didn't meet someone who was very good for her to be with, and is sort of rebounding from that. But she's scheduled to get back to school now this fall semester, so she's recognized that, you know, she kind of went awry, and I'm thankful for that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling, Joyce. We appreciate that. Jesse, any final bits of advice for Joyce before we move on?
Yes. The fact that this is a transitional period is definitely why she's having these troubles. So I think that things may resolve themselves when she returns to college, but I'm wondering, maybe she's holding on to some bitterness of times when you have not understood, or you've offered criticism that seemed harsh, or maybe she feels you did not stand up for her when other relatives passed harsh judgment. And of course, you did not know what you were dealing with. And maybe you can broach the subject by saying, I'm sorry that I probably did not give you enough support, but I did not understand how special you are. And I want to understand now, and I just want to help you be happy. And maybe if you make it about her happiness and focus on all of her positive qualities, then that will make a dramatic difference.
Well, Jesse, we have to leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. And may I give the readers my webpage?
Sure.
It is Jesse Saperstein, JesseSaperstein.com. And you can order books through the website if you want messages inside. And I look forward to hearing from some of your viewers.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Jesse Saperstein with us there. He's the author of Getting a Life with Asperger's.